It's Sunday morning, August 29th.
Lord, we ask your blessing on our time today, Lord. Again, that your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, that we would have ears to hear. It's you that gives us ears to hear. We don't do it by trying hard. So, Lord, we ask you for that. We ask that that your truth would flow from heaven through us and out our mouths. Do that sweet, sweet good work, Lord. Do that good work, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.
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 God keeps doing new things.
Yes.
But we have seen so many things happen in the past that it's like, what kind of new things can he do? But he'll come up with something. But I was asking Charlie, I said, you remember years ago when we would have like laughing in the spirit, and it was contagious, and it's a strange thing, but anyone else remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you say, why? I don't know, but I tell you what, it really made you feel good. And we had gold dust falling on people. And no explanation, no understanding of it. But I remember one person in particular, and that was Laura Alley. And she was playing the piano one day, and we were standing up around her, and she was playing it, and her whole system was getting saturated with gold dust. Anybody see that? You remember that?
I don't remember. I remember the gold dust.
I remember Laura. She was kind of embarrassed by it.
Yeah. She was saturated with it. Why? We never did know why.
Bonnie got a gold tooth that hadn't been there before.
Yeah, so did my wife. She had two of them. And she didn't get it before we were married. And we didn't have any money after we were married, so... But Joanne demonstrated those teeth to quite a few people. That they knew that she didn't have gold teeth. Why? I was thinking yesterday of the number, the things that happened to be number one. And I was the first one baptized in the community chapel system. And there were thousands after me. And I was the first one in deliverance. I was the first one to dance in the spirit. And I don't know, did anybody see that night? Mm-hmm.
pay good money to see that.
Yeah. I would pay money myself to see it. And I was standing kind of in the middle of the church, and I remember Gordy Johnson, and he's passed away, but Gordy sat there and he laughed, because I was, you know, I was doing something that I don't do. And I was praying. I said, "Lord, help me stop this thing." My legs were uncontrollable. I couldn't stop it. And finally, I crashed to the floor, and I was thankful. Because I was making an idiot of myself, and I wasn't even trying to. So I told Don Burnett, I said, I told him what had happened. He said, "You probably just wanted to do that." And I said, I don't think so. And about 2 weeks later, it happened to him. And that's what dancing, when we got into full blood dancing.
I was hearing the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it, you know, kind of a light went. I've read it, and I think the light was just for the time I was hearing it, but there is a scripture there that I think ties in. It's verse 18 there in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." So, hey, if you're wise in the things of the world, you're going to have to become a fool. You're going to have to become a fool if you're going to be wise in the ways of the Lord. And I suppose there was foolishness in that dancing, in the uncontrollable laughing, whatever. That was, we became fools. Whether we became wise in the Spirit is another question, I suppose. But if you're wise in the ways of the world, that's sounds like kind of a disqualifier, as far as I'm concerned.
Which reminds me of Matthew 18:3. It says, "I say unto you, except you become converted and become as little children," that doesn't make any sense at all, "you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." You're going to become converted to becoming a little child? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No. It's not a thought that appeals to the natural man.
Yeah.
But it's actually what happened to us.
Pardon?
That's actually what happened to us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be receiving the truth.
Yeah.
He's come as a little child. So somehow he converted us to that mindset. At least that's the way I see it.
Well, Jesus told Peter, he said, "After you're converted, strengthen your brethren." And Peter was already healing the sick and doing all kinds of miracles. But I'm thinking that maybe the conversion was kind of like what 18:3 says.
Yeah, because the real strengthening is in the truth.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what Ken just said. And you know, you take the blackboard of your life, all the things you've learned, all the, you got to take an eraser and just wipe, take that eraser and just clean off that blackboard, have it be empty before you can, with some limits, I suppose, I don't know, but in some kind of sense, some real thing like that happens, I believe.
Yes.
We have to empty ourselves of what we have gotten good at. And oh, the natural man doesn't want to do that. Oh, my, no, no, no. And I don't know that, just looking at myself, I don't know that anything like that has been completely done. But it is that process that makes you open to the truths of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't a completed thing.
No.
It was the beginning.
No, it's, no. It is, yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
It's kind of interesting on that blackboard thing. Blackboard. It's like all of our bad habits are up there. And
our good ones too,
but we look at it and go, well, even though it's a bad habit, and you don't see it like that because you think, oh, it's a habit I have. It's a habit. Mm-hmm. And you're going, well, you know, what qualifies a bad habit? Sometimes you have to check with the Spirit on that one because it's like, I've been doing this all along. You know what? It was a bad habit. But that means to kind of start all over again. Start new with that blackboard going, Lord, what's a good habit? Oh, okay, the opposite of this habit would be...
Nah. Sure.
And you can put it into many terms in different scenarios. Well, was it really bad to do that? You know, and I think coming as a child... As you know, we're learning anew. I mean, God's opening our eyes to this word, and you think of yourself as a little child. Well, a little child can't read. We're childlike, I think, is more so where I, you know, how I feel about it. We're childlike, looking at something, going, well, when did they put this in the Bible? You know, when did they add that? Because we're looking at it from the perspective of a child. Yeah, and kind of makes it exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The blackboard thing is a good analogy. I like that, except, you know, I would be like, erasing! You know? But because how many times have we said, well, it's just a habit I have. It's a, you know, it's no biggie. It's just a habit. Kicking dogs is not, yeah. It's just a habit. Now that I don't do, but it's not a good habit. And I would never kick a dog. But.
And is it like an excuse?
Right.
So we don't have to deal with
it. Right. I don't want to have to deal with it because I've always done that, so it's okay. Yeah. It's a habit.
And I can't get over it.
Yeah. Well. And the thing is, we can't.
We have to.
We have to.
So we just erase around some of these things.
That's right.
The fine eraser.
My blackboard is not clean. At this point.
I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23.
1 Corinthians 10?
Yeah. Chapter 23.
23.
Verse 23.
Verse 23. Chapter 10, verse 23.
Thank you.
I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And that's kind of along the same line.
Yeah.
Is it constructive? Is our habit constructive?
Is my habit constructive?
Or is it not?
Yeah.
Is it good for us? Yes or no? So that kind of goes along with that.
Yeah, that's a good scripture because.
What translation are you reading from?
NIV.
10.
What did yours say?
Well, I think it says the same thing, but it's different.
Wording.
Yeah, all
different
things are,
wording.
All things are lawful for me, but all things that are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
Mm-hmm.
Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked twice to make sure because the wording was different enough.
I have two versions, and the New International Version was closer to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially in the last one, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And talk about Christ-like. I mean, you got the last piece of something. What's the good? I mean, do you give it? Do you keep it?
Yeah.
Mm. I keep thinking of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that Eve and then Adam ate from. And we have a knowledge of good and evil, but it is a knowledge of good and evil that we acquired at the invitation of the devil. You know? So it's not good or, you know, it's not. And if that's what we are, people who have been nourished by the knowledge of good and evil, then we do not have access to the fruit from the tree of life. You know? There's that angel that bars the way to access to that tree of life.
Because of our sin.
That just somehow speaks to me, you know? The way we can be so confident, or at least I can be so confident of my own knowledge of what's good and what's not good.
Mm-hmm. I have been.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Another spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard to do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I need. I want. Like Lynn's grocery bags.
Charlie, when you were talking about the, you know, the tree of knowledge, the word justification just came to me because we justify, you know, oh, this is probably okay, you know, we don't really seek the Lord for is this a good or bad? And I just was looking up the definition of justification, and it. Actually, the second definition is the action of declaring or making righteous in the sight of God.
Which is a different, yeah, right. That's a different meaning of it. But yeah.
Right, I know. And I'm like, whoa, okay, you know. But because we do, I mean, we sit, you know, it's like, I remember that commercial they had with the devil and the angel on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, you know, that is where the justification comes in, because you're like, well, how bad would it be? Well, you go back and forth in your own mind. When instead of asking yourself, you need to be asking God.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it pleasing to you?
Yeah, is it pleasing to you? Is this something that would make you happy? You know, if I, you know, if I did this?
Yeah.
And we have a really, really easy way out by asking him, and we just, you know, we use the justification theory a lot. Because I don't want to bother him with this.
Mm-hmm.
There's justification.
I don't want to bother you with this.
I don't want to keep this.
Is this a little too trivial for your pay grade?
Yeah.
I'm kind of stuck on what Charlie brought.
First Corinthians 3:18.
Let no man deceive himself. Let any man among you seem it to be wise in this world. Let him become a fool. So, how many of you think you've become a fool? How many of you are striving to be a fool and not to be wise?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that so? You want to look good for your neighbor? You want to do everything that's right? Are you making sure that you're keeping up images? Going to church every Sunday? Tithing? Oh, my word. The list of all the things you do to look good versus being, you know, it says you really, until you become a fool, you can't really become wise. Which is kind of, again, another way of saying, let us get back to becoming like children, childlike. Throw aside all this so-called, all the things I've learned to be good. Right and false righteousness and puffing myself up.
You kind of want to say, Paul, do you really mean that?
I think you were slightly off in that.
Right.
You used a different word, right?
Yeah, but that one really works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, in conjunction with Keith. Yeah, I was, what a fool I was. I'm going to glory. Based on scriptures, I say glory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It was almost wrong of you to pray to stop this. You're trying to put your hand on the ark.
Mm-hmm. Not the scripture that we would be fools for Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
You know, I looking back on a lot of that, I would have that question for myself when we were experiencing all these different, you know, dancing in the spirit, and I would say, so if this is of God, am I not going to do it because I'm embarrassed or afraid of what man thinks? And fortunately, most of the time, I just said, the heck of that. I'm going to be a fool.
Yeah.
You know,
because
you know it's of the spirit.
Yeah.
So, you didn't care what natural man thought, for the most part.
I remember when I first started coming here, when we would pray or sing or whatever, people would raise their hands. I thought, when I first started, that is so dumb. Oh, that is so dumb.
Crazy people.
Yeah, something. And then I got convicted or something, and I made a rule for myself. Whenever that thought came in my head, oh, these people are so dumb, you got to do it. And that worked pretty well.
Yeah, it's funny because I know we would maybe be involved with some other church or something, in a service or something, and some of our people, and you'd look around and you'd get those looks like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, are you a fanatic?
Yeah.
A lot of judgment looks.
What's interesting is, I mean, the Bible obviously was written a long time ago. And how many times did the disciples say to themselves, oh, you know, I know this is what Jesus taught me and this is what Jesus said, but do I really want to go over and pray for that man? That hesitation, I don't think, was in them. At the end, at least. Maybe it was in the beginning. Well, you know, we don't really know. But if they were willing to make a fool of themselves, with the outcome knowing it could be death, how easy is it for us to do the simpler, little everyday things to make a fool out of ourselves in God's eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes any sense, but they were taking on a much bigger challenge of intimidation or possibly execution or outing, you know, being left by their families. You know, I mean, it was on and on. If we're willing to stand up for God now, does that make us a fool?
Process. You know, Jesus didn't seem super anxious to turn that water into wine right to begin with there at that marriage at Cana.
Right. We would have been stomping all over, boy.
Yeah.
As the mother, you would have said, I told you to do this. You know, I mean, that was the first miracle.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you brought says is exactly right, but it's from the a little bit from the American perspective. We're blessed in this country. There are people just praying put their life at risk.
Yeah.
So some people are being challenged
right now.
In extreme ways,
yeah,
too, especially with current events. So,
yeah.
But it certainly does call you up short if you're going, I don't know, this could be, you know, people might think bad of me, and you go, that is not a really big sacrifice in the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what others are being asked and what the scriptures require.
Yeah, it's a setting, and there's more than one. This is one of them. So they got brought, Peter and them, quite a few of them got brought before the high priest. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Yeah.
The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on the tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And I know there's another scenario where it says somewhat that, but in a little different way. But, you know, it's, well, I mean, in fact, the other one I was thinking of, it looks like they're in direct rebellion to the government. It's like, well, you can say that, but we're not going to obey you. We're going to obey God, you know.
He said, one time, he said, is it better to obey man than God? Or God, you know, judge ye which one we ought to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're early in Acts.
We may become tested someday in that.
Mm-hmm.
We better be ready.
Yeah.
We've had it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very fortunate, very easy. I don't know what I would do in circumstances over in the Middle East if I were there. I don't know. I hate to say that I might not make the mark.
Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm. But I pray, knowing what I do know, that I will be able to make the mark.
Mm-hmm.
whatever he sets before me. Got to get serious and stop being lazy.
Yeah. Well, it's in our mind right now, it's hard to fathom being so controlled, military running in the street and stuff like that. I mean, I know when one of my friends, her son-in-law went over to Israel to visit his mom. This was not that long ago. And they were bombing. At that time, it was those silent bombs. I don't know. I'm not very good at more
things. There was suicide bombing going on there.
Yeah. And it was blocks away from his mom's house. So that perspective is just not there. You know, I mean, we are blessed in a way. I mean, we don't wake up worried that that's going to happen. People who live with that every day, you know, you just got to be steadfast and got your feet planted on the Lord.
I'm thinking of a little scenario that happened yesterday. So we were going to have this sentry ride, and we meet at this guy's house on the south side of Eau Claire. And right away he's coming out, and we'd already heard this a little bit through the grapevine. He was real concerned that everybody, to know who was vaccinated. So he didn't want to be one. Now, here's the thing. You put your trust in the government and do what they say to get vaccinated, yet you're fearful and paranoid over it. It doesn't make any sense, you know? You're vaccinated. What are you worried about if it's supposed to be so good? So anyway, he did go on the ride, and he just would kind of keep his distance and stuff at the stops. And then finally, when we got up to Bruce, I think, he must have had his wife come and pick him up because he didn't want to get to the end and have to ride back in a car with anybody.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, you know, it's just kind of odd to have you that paranoid over something that's supposed to be good and supposed to correct, you know. So evidently you don't really believe it for sure, you know. So, yeah.
You know, I along that lines, it's what's happened to us in our country is that there's become enough doubt in what people we used to trust are saying that we don't trust what people are saying, and that lack of trust has led us, a lot of people, to just, they're kind of stuck. And I'm grateful that I'm continuing to listen to God and not worry about what man is saying. This whole pandemic thing has sort of forced people to make some decisions. Now, I'm not judging anyone who chooses to do something or chooses not to do something. I am saying, though, that what's happened to us is that we used to be able to say, you know, you could get some information and it wouldn't be contradicted to the point you didn't know what to believe. Mm-hmm. That's what's changed in our lives. For every nut job that says this is a good thing, you could find another nut job that says it's a bad thing. And the problem is you can't trust the nut jobs that you used to trust before, which should drive you to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of saying, how am I going to stay above this? It's going, I'm not trusting any of the nut jobs. I'm getting before God, and God will take care of it. There's also super spirituality demons, and you got to be careful. And brain has to engage on some levels, but man, is it interesting. I had a conversation with one of the health workers in our neighborhood while I was walking the dog, and he and I have talked. I happen to know he's on the right side of the political aisle, and he starts asking me questions about the vaccine and blah, 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 blah. And he starts telling me how divided it is inside the hospitals where he works and how many healthcare people are deathly afraid of this vaccine. I'm going, in our town, we're having trouble down, you know, Claire. And he says, oh, yeah. Tells him about all the anesthesiologists that got vaccinated. And then they couldn't do any operations for 2 weeks because all the anesthesiologists were all sick for 2 weeks after the vaccine. And I'm going, and I, you know, and I walked away from the conversation going, I can't believe anybody telling me anything, because I can't get three people to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to trust God. And he'll sort this out. It's unfortunate.
I think that's the bottom line. You just have to trust. You have to trust God. You have to ask God. You have to talk to God. If you've gotten the shot, then that's what you're comfortable with. And if you haven't, then that's what you're comfortable with. Or, I mean, or in my rare case, I might not ever be able to because of all my health conditions. And does that make me a bad person or a good person? It doesn't make me. I'm just what God made me. I am what I am. It doesn't make me good. It doesn't make me bad. And I would never fault anyone for having the vaccine or for not having it. I mean, I think I told you I ran into a woman at Shopko. Deja vu. I worked there at Walmart. Who, in the checkout lane, and she was. I got a little too close to her, and she's like, "Can you back off?" And I'm like, I was trying to think what I was doing, mm-hmm. You know, and I thought, and all I was doing was I was too close to her because I thought, oh my gosh, what did I do today? You know, I'm checking everything thinking, oh, how did I offend her? When I was just too close to her. And then I apologized, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, because I don't want to be offensive to anyone, you know. And then there was a little bit of justification, I think, that rose up going, then why don't you have a mask on and stay at home? You know, I mean, there was this in my mind, the little devil came out on both sides, and I'm going, stop it. When you're going to be, when are you really going to be a Christian? When are you really going to just, hey, that woman wanted her space, that's fine.
Her choice.
So God
hasn't brought this on us for a reason, such as this, for us to be able to look at things and start making these kind of decisions.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Yeah. So
He's allowed it, definitely.
And I think we don't want to forget Christ-like through the whole thing. No matter, what anybody does or don't do, I say, I don't know if that's correct English, but a borderline. It's okay. I don't think Christ walked along the path going, I don't think that, I don't like that person over there. Look at what they're wearing. Look at how they're acting. God, Jesus never walked around condemning. He walked around with the heart of God. And that was the heart that looking at everybody going, I just love all of you.
Looking for a way to save.
Yeah, I'm looking for a way to save you. And if you want to spit on me, go ahead. You want to curse me, go ahead. You want to love me, you want to come and get prayer for me. It comes back to that little bit of free will. But Jesus never displayed anything other than God's will. And I think God is also asking us to get to the place where we just walk in going, okay, God's will. And I think once you're in that peace, then the woman at the store, it's okay. I need to love her just as much as anybody. And, you know, and yet we have to be really open to God. That to me is where the bottom line is, you know.
You and I've learned, it's taken a while, but you can't even judge faith.
No.
You know, you can't judge a person if their faith isn't where maybe you think yours is, or whatever, or in certain areas, you know. Some people have faith that believe they aren't going to get sick and can't be healed or whatever, and then others don't. Well, you got to let God work that out, you know. So I've been thinking, you know, I haven't done a lot really yet. But if I keep hearing these people, it's like, well, I have one solution. You could just trust in God, you know, that he would keep you. I am, to the ability of, you know, wherever I'm at. And, but not condemn them if they don't accept it or whatever. It's, you know, you can just plant it, and that's all you can do. But it's like, you don't hear very many people, and I'm guilty of it. I've probably been 50 situations where I could have done that. I haven't so far, you know, to a few maybe. But one thing was this friend of mine that I ride with a lot. I'm not going to say his name or anything, but he's been going through stuff, and his daughter went to Idaho and worked and stuff, and he's really close to his two daughters. They're the kind of people that talk to each other every day, you know. And so he got anxiety over her being gone, and then he's just got some other things going on, and so he finally kind of went to some therapy. Well, then the other day he found out that his therapist had to cancel because, I don't know if she had to go somewhere or got sick or something. And he says, so there, now what are you doing? You're therapy. And I went, well, I guess we should pray for you and lay hands on you. And he kind of laughed, and then that was it. There was no response, but the seed got planted, you know. And I will too, because he's been involved in Christianity, but probably really shallow, you know. So that kind of went.
Probably enough to inoculate him, huh?
Yeah, it kind of went away. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the things within the church between man.
Yeah.
You know, like the color of carpet or how they should get repaired or things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just threw it out there, and then I didn't press it. And so, you know, if he brings it up again, I'll bring it up again, you know. Hey, I'll pray for you.
What I like to do is say, can I pray for you? Can I hug you? Can I do this for you?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think I kind of use it as a crutch to get out of a situation or something. But in the same token, I'm still trusting God when I pray. So I use it as a crutch for God, I guess.
Well, that's not a bad crutch, I guess, if I'm using it. I mean, because most of the time when you say, can I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people are caught up.
Demand to pray for something.
People are caught up there. I mean, because it's like, instead of, would you like me to possibly, maybe sometime down the road, if it's okay with you and me, that we possibly get together and I could pray for you? You lost me at the if. Rather than, can I pray for you?
No big deal. I can pray. You know?
Right. People
rather than, I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah. Right. You know, there's
which it might work for some people. But.
Yeah.
But rather the, you know, can I pray for you? I think it catches people off guard.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there's this momentary thing going, somebody cares enough to pray for me. Or somebody wants to pray for me. You see, it's both ways.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's probably ingrained in people a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Somewhere along they've heard and gotten values about that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now there's a lot of children today that are grown-ups that probably have had no influence of Christianity, you know, but a lot of them, somehow it's there, and that to pray is yeah, it's like Susan said, it's, oh, somebody cares about me,
yeah,
you know.
And I generally do.
Yeah.
You know, I do care.
Mm-hmm.
If they're talking to me and I'm talking to them, I care for them.
Right.
You know? That's my nature.
Well, and God put that on your heart, though.
And well, okay. Probably, yeah, because...
How you want to use it.
I'd rather just go home and sit down
yeah.
and forget all this.
See you later.
Yeah.
Hope everything works out.
Yeah. Don't let me know. I'm sorry.
No, it's true. I mean,
I don't mean to make fun of it, though.
I will say, and I've shared before, I don't have it's an extremely religious family. Not that I'm religious, but, you know. And none of them hesitate when they have a trial in their life to approach my wife or I and say, will you pray for this or will you pray about this? And, you know, the testimony that we have has been good. And so, you know, there's actual faith. I mean, my mom will make comments to people outside the family. Boy, when Corky and Susan's church prays for something, it's a done deal. Yeah. I mean, I wish I had that kind of faith from Christians.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just.
Well, I have a friend that when I told her I pray for her, she said, I know you will. Please and thank you.
Yeah.
Because she knows I do.
Mm-hmm.
Some, she said some people say that and they never do, but I know you will. So please. Yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your reputation goes along with it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let them see God in you.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you. You're diligent about being a prayer warrior, that is one example of them seeing God in you.
Absolutely. And it doesn't even, you can, I think people sometimes think, I'm going to pray for you and it has to be this big thing. When I'm going to pray for you, with, you know, and it's just silent. It's something you're praying for that person. Their spirit can feel the prayers from other people. It's just, to me, it's like smiling at somebody. How you made their day, you don't have any idea. They came out and they were having the worst day of their life, and this person who they have no idea who they are smiled at them. And they go, oh, makes them feel good. So there's things, it doesn't have to be this huge.
Big ordeal.
Right. You know, because God works in mysterious ways.
Absolutely. And he will use whatever at his disposal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should we take prayer requests?
Pardon?
Should we take prayer requests?
Sure.
I mean, I think there are a few. We can talk to Aunt Charlotte how she's feeling.
I'm doing better. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's good.
Glory.
pressure.
Courtney's going out.
Yeah. Actually, I would make a request that you just pray for my family. We're in the middle of the sisters who are living together to not live together, so it's kind of like a divorce, and it's not
the Hatfield and McCoy.
It's not going well. Sides have been drawn, and whose team are you on? And it's just everybody who says anything is lying, and it's just bad. And I'm tasked to mediate the sides and try and hold the unit together, which is tough. I could use some help from God on how to do it better. And maybe I've been doing it.
Can you pray for my mom?
For your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes.
She having some health problems?
You don't know.
Don't know, huh?
She's
okay.
On drugs.
Charlie.
What?
Can't hear that.
The biological mother is still having troubles.
Ah. Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we ask, oh, Jesus, that your peace would fall upon that mess there of the Sieber family.
Yeah.
That all that tangled anger and all that stuff, Lord, oh, Lord, that it would sort itself out, that there would be harmony. Lord, we ask that your wisdom would fall upon Corky and that he would know the best way of approaching this whole deal. Give him wisdom, but Lord, that your Spirit would be in there too.
Yes, Lord.
That stuff like that is of the enemy. It's of the enemy. When there is that kind of anger and hostility going on. So we rebuke the enemy in that.
Yes.
And Lord, that your Spirit would just flow through that and that there would be just a good resolution of separation, whatever.
Thank
just
you.
A good separation, good resolution of that.
Thank
you, Lord.
Yeah, so, you know,
you.
Feelings either way, just praying to sort it out.
And Lord, we ask that you take Sophie and Carter's mom, and Lord, we ask that you would hold her in your arms, hold her in your arms, oh Lord. Where all the troubles, all the whatever those troubles are, emotional troubles, physical troubles, the spiritual troubles, all those troubles. That those things would just kind of shrivel up and get blown away.
Yes.
That your peace would be upon her. Your peace would be upon her, Lord.
Yes.
She would just be doing okay.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
She would do okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. You touch her.
She would
to get on with her life in some kind of good way, some kind of constructive good way, not be dragged off the way that she should be going. Put her on a good path by your Spirit.
Yes, Lord God.
Put her on a good path.
Make it so the children can see her, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to lay hands on Charlie. We don't want this to stop.
Lord, just continue.
Yes.
Bless her, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you for healing, Lord God.
Thank you.